Hi there, welcome to No Nonsense Whiskey. My name's Vin PF. On today's Dram Slams, we have the Instagram extraordinaire, Whiskey T, aka Tori. How are you doing, Tori?
I'm good, thanks, Vin.
Excellent. How are you feeling about the whiskies today? Are you into your peat and things like that?
I have recently got into the peat since visiting Isla, so I'm quite excited with some of these drams that you've lined up.
Excellent. But are you more into the kind of non-peaty side of things then?
Yeah, I think that's where my love of whiskey lies, in the sweeter variety rather than the smoky.
Okay, fair enough. Excellent. Well, the first one in the glass today is the Jura 18. And while we're mulling that one over, I want to ask you about your whiskey origin story. What got you into whiskey and brought you up to where you are today?
So I've always had quite a love of Scotland. I used to go travelling up there quite a bit. And I was sort of in the Aberdeenshire area, driving a few back roads. And just happened to pass a distillery sign that said, like, it did tours. I'm like, oh, that'd be quite good. So popped in just on the off chance. And amazingly, they were just about to do a tour. They were going out the door. So jumped on that. And as they were going round, talking about the whiskey and sort of like the stories of it and how they made it and everything like that, I was just like, oh, this is like quite magical stuff. This is quite cool. You know, I'd heard about whiskey before, but never the real details of it. And by the time we got round to the tasting, I was sort of pretty hooked anyway. So I was even more pleased when I tried the drams and I was like, yes, this is quite up my street. And it wasn't until sort of later down the line, through my sort of whiskey journey, that I realised sort of like my first tasting was a pretty iconic whiskey, which was a Glendronach. And the 18-year-old Allardyce that I had, which was about, I think it was a 2015 bottle. It's like one of my all-time favourite drams, even to this day.
Oh, wow. So you had like a really good entry into whiskey.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just been an upward journey from there, really.
Excellent. What do you think about the Jura 18 that's in front of you? Is that something that you've tried before?
Yeah, I have tried it recently. I was part of a tasting with Jura, the Jura Music Festival, and we got to try this. And I'm quite a big fan of it, to be honest, and I'm quite a big fan of Jura, actually. And I've always been quite surprised to see sort of on Instagram sort of this, like, Marmite opinion of Jura. You either get people that absolutely hate it or you get people that absolutely love it. And, I'm one of the love it fans.
Yeah, fair enough. I think it gets a bit of a bad rap sometimes, to be honest. It's, you know, they always could do with presenting themselves a little bit like higher on ABV and sacking off the colouring and things like that. But if the price is okay, then who are we to argue?
Yeah, I think it's a nice sort of 18-year-old, maybe like sort of a similar price to Glenfiddich's 18. But I think I probably prefer Glenfiddich's. But it is a nice 18-year-old.
All right, well, that's the first one done. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what your glass situation's like, but if you want to move on to the firkin, then that'll be ideal. Have you tried this one before?
No, I've only ever seen them on Instagram through, like, other people's postings. It's something that sort of interested me, especially with it being sort of sherry cask. I love a sherry cask. I'm a real sweethead. And it looks quite interesting. I've heard quite good reviews from him. So I'm quite excited to try this, actually.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I often say things like, I mean, I get some bottles from the industry now, but I buy all of these because they're so good. And I don't really, I'm not really a sherry person. But ever since they sent me a tasting pack a couple of years ago, I've been hooked in what they do because it's just incredible. It's just incredible.
I mean, surprisingly, I haven't drunk sherry for a long time. I think the last time that I drunk sherry was a house party and we thought it was a bottle of wine and we were like, this bottle of wine tastes a bit naff. And it turned out to be the mum's cooking sherry.
Oh.
But I need to start trying some sherry because I'm hearing sort of good things. It's sort of coming back in, a bit more fashionable. And it's kind of like you sort of wines and your brandies and that sort of thing, it's having its own sort of taste into now.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's just like anything, isn't it? If you compare like your basic supermarket blends to the single malt whiskies that we like to drink, it's the same as comparing your Bristol Cream to something that's, you know, like a proper like Pedro Ximenez or something like that. You know, there's no comparison. It's just not the same at all. But I'm not huge into my sherry like as an actual drink itself, but there's some really blinding ones out there if you try, and they're not really that expensive. I think like Master of Malt has some for like 15, 20 quid, something like that, and obviously up and up and up.
That's not bad.
Yeah, well worth getting into. Well, while we're mulling this one over then, next thing I wanted to ask you about is obviously Instagram as a platform. You know, like you've got into whiskey, you've now reached the kind of like the nerd level, and obviously you've decided you want to express that to the world, the same as most of us do with our content creation. What made you pick Instagram over anything else?
I had no real intention to set up an Instagram page, if I'm honest. I grew up in Scotland. I work with my family, and I've just gone to the Scotch Whiskey Experience in Edinburgh. Bought myself a bottle from the shop there. And my boyfriend was like, you should set up an Instagram page. You should set up a page. You've taken loads of pictures today. You should share them. So it was actually the 1st of January last year that I did my first Instagram post. You know, not really thinking anything of it, but it was just a platform to just share my pictures, you know. And I didn't think that there was that much of a community either. I didn't know there was like a whiskey community. I was sort of blind and ignorant to it, to be fair. But it just sort of snowballed from there.
Yeah, and you said you started, it was literally like in January 2020, wasn't it? So it was just as we were coming into the like lockdowns and things like that, that were only a couple of months into it. So, I mean, obviously you said you took a lot of pictures, so you had some pictures to fall back on, but you're a bit of a traveler, aren't you? So how did that sort of affect you as you were like just starting out basically on Instagram, and then all of a sudden you can't go anywhere?
Yeah, I think if I was further down the line into my sort of page and content creation, I probably would have been quite stuck. But I think because I already had quite a big bottle collection and already had quite a few photos from when I'd been to Scotland, even back in 2015, I was sort of able to utilise those pictures, and lockdown gave a little bit of freedom where I could go out and with the bottles and take some pictures and sort of experiment. And, you know, although we weren't able to properly travel, you know, I live sort of in the countryside anyway, so it was, you know, my hour walk, I could take a bottle, take a couple of pictures and come back in. So I suppose it didn't affect me as much as it would have done.
How are you feeling so far? Good?
Yeah, good, good. I really like this. Yeah, it is really nice. It's quite fruity and sort of like nutty as well. It's like, it just hits all those sweet notes for me. If it's sweet on the palate, it's just got like an instant tick. And it's got quite a nice mouthfeel as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're all pretty good ABVs. I think they tend to sit around, 48.9%. So, you know, pretty good. Okay, so we'll probably move on to the next one now, which is going to be the Fireball. No questions on this one, so it's just a reaction-based thing.
It sounds like this is something that you'd shot.
Well, I think genuinely, that's what it's designed for.
There should be a few drinks in with this, should I? Right, here goes. I know we were talking about hitting the sweet notes, but it's just like, moving on.
Yeah.
Sorry, Fireball.
It's like, I think it's like 33%, but they've thickened it up with like sugar and things like that. So yeah, I guess it depends if you like cinnamon or not. I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah. It might make an alternative choice at the bar instead of Sambuca, but...
Excellent. Well, hopefully the next one will take the taste out of your mouth. This is a no-nonsense whiskey release, some single cask stuff, if you've got that there. This is the Aberfeldy six-year-old.
So you've picked this one then?
Yes, yeah, I picked this blind lineup. This is the second release. The first was a Dalmore nine-year-old refill cask, and this is a Rechar Hogshead cask from Aberfeldy six-year-old.
And is this still for sale then, Ben?
Yeah, there's a couple of bottles left on there. So the link's in the description below, obviously, for that sort of thing. Very high ABV as well.
What ABV is that then? Wow, 59.8. But so smooth.
Mm.
Not saying that because it's yours. It was just like, that's what I like. I'm like, what? Like, you couldn't tell for that. It's super, super smooth. I'm not just saying this, but that is delicious for a 6 year as well. It's pretty young, isn't it, still?
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so I know from your pictures, you somewhat fairly recently went to Islay and did a big tour of Islay. Now, it's something that I'm very jealous of because I haven't actually made it to Islay yet. What's the kind of number one recommendation you would make for someone like me who's never been there before on how I should go about it, basically? Because you did a lot when you were there.
Yeah, we did it. Oh my God. Wow. What a trip. It was amazing. I think a couple of things that I've learned from Islay was we stayed in Bowmore. We got a cottage there. I would highly recommend just hiring a cottage to stay out in. Because you rarely sort of in there anyway, but it is sort of a nice place to go back and have some quiet time and go back to your drams usually. But I think if we were to go back again, we would probably stay in somewhere like Port Ellen, around that area. Because there's just a lot more distilleries around there. Getting about is a bit of a pain. The buses don't stop directly at all the distilleries. So we spent quite a bit of money on taxis. Especially to get us to, you know, because we were sort of like double booking some distilleries. So we'd have one in the morning, then one in the afternoon. And although we were trying to get them as close together as we could, they were in some cases having to travel right across the island. And it's a lot bigger when you're on the island than when you look at the map. And, you know, there is the buses there, but I think you need to also be prepared to put a bit of foot walking in, you know, a few steps in there. But yeah, just try and book as many distilleries as you can. You know, really fill it as much as you can. Warehouse tasting all the way, most definitely. There was a couple that we couldn't book due to sort of COVID or due to a couple of clashes. So we kind of like went with either a core tasting or a beach tasting that we did with one. But yeah, it's definitely worth going. Definitely. Just make sure you've got a big boot as well.
Definitely. Yeah, it's 100% on my hit list. And unfortunately, as I was getting to the point where I could start doing these things, COVID happened. So I'm looking forward to getting back out there when things are, you know, really settled down. I want to make sure things are really settled down before I start going up again. But yeah, I'm like, one of the things that's always funny about me is I'm drastically understudied on distillery visits. Like, drastic. I've been to, well, way less than 10 distilleries. Yeah, easily way less than 10 distilleries. So something that I definitely need to change, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's like, for me, it's like an adult Disneyland going to a distillery. And before I went to Islay, like I said, you know, I wasn't a huge smoky peaty whiskey fan. And I was a little bit apprehensive going, thinking, oh, am I really going to like these drams? And as soon as I went and started trying all these different drams, I was just like, wow, this is amazing. I've been sort of like shutting myself away for this for so long, you know, and it really just opened my eyes and really kind of like, I found a huge love for Islay.
Mm, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to find a turning point in Pete, it's got to be on Islay, right? That's the absolute place to do it.
Definitely. It's stunning. And not just for the whiskies either. You know, the scenery is just beautiful. You know, the wildlife as well. It is amazing.
Excellent. Well, that's good, because that leads me on to the next two, which are our peaty ones today. So the first one here, we've got the McMira Svenska Rook. I'm not sure how well versed you are with McMiras. I know you've tried a couple in your time.
Yeah, I've had a few. Don't think I've had this one. That's quite interesting. But quite a bit of a salty sweet sort of vibe going on.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, the interesting thing about this one is that it's 10% of the fuel that was used is juniper twigs. So it gives it a kind of like weird little inflection that you don't normally get on like Scottish peated whiskies.
Like a little gin vibe going on.
Yeah.
That's quite nice. It's got quite a sort of like crispy, apple-y taste to it.
You mentioned earlier that you're kind of in the countryside in a bit of middle of nowhere. I'm not in the middle of nowhere. I'm in a big city, but there's no whiskey scene around me at all. Obviously, where you are, I guess you probably get even less. But how far do you have to travel to get a good whiskey scene? You know, have you got to go to a big town or something like that?
Yeah, if I want to go to like a whiskey bar, then it's Manchester really for me. But I am very lucky in the fact that there's like two fantastic sort of whiskey shops, sort of about 30 minutes drive from me. One in Skipton, which I've also seen like a few people post on Instagram that have been there. They've got a fantastic range and the staff is really knowledgeable as well, which always helps. And they're always free flowing with the drams as well, which is even better. And there's another place in Clitheroe as well that's really good. Same vibe there. So I'm very lucky in that sense. I think if we didn't have sort of them two shops there, it would be really difficult. It'd be all online buying. And in some cases, you don't want that. You want to go to the shop. You want to sort of talk about whiskey and be introduced to new flavours that you might not necessarily go for. And it's also a really good opportunity to sort of try before you buy as well, because there's nothing worse than buying a bottle that you think you're going to love and you turn out and it's just like, oh, and you've just wasted all that money. So, yeah, and I am a big thing for sort of like going to whiskey shops, being there in person.
No, absolutely. I completely agree. I'm slim pickings for me. The best two shops I have in Coventry are a wine shop, which has a good selection, but they're all like top shelf. There's no, you know, it's mostly wine and they've just added a few things. And then I have a really amazing off license, which the guy just like likes whiskey. And every now and again, you can find something in there that he's had for years that he hasn't changed the price on. For instance, I got like a 2008 Bruichladdy Isle of Barley, like heavily peated in there for like retail, like 4 or 5 years after it had gone out of stock. And he just put it up when he got it for, you know, 65 quid and just forgot about it. And I sort of saw it and went like that and sort of silently gave it to him and was like, and then sort of ran out the shop before he noticed.
Oh, that's amazing.
Shall we move on to this last whiskey then? This is the Glasgow 1770 peated. So hopefully it won't be too peaty for you, but I shouldn't imagine it will be.
It's quite, it's probably the deepest colour of a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, I'm just trying to look in now. Apart from the Jura and obviously the Fireball, I imagine, but those are both added colour, but the rest of it is non-added colour. And this is a genuine colour from the 1770s. It's quite impressive considering it's only probably like 4 years old, something like that.
It's quite smooth for that age. I always find quite younger whiskies tend to be a lot harsher on the palate.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite smooth. It is like a mouthful of campfire smoke, isn't it?
Yeah. And for me, because it's finished in Pedro Ximenez casks, it rounds out that super dirty peatiness and gives it that just a touch of sweetness, but not too much. It isn't overly sherried. Like, you'd know there was some influence to it that was weird, but I don't think you'd immediately go to like a hardcore sherry note for this.
No, I think this whiskey would be really good if it was paired with some food. I think this is a good like pairing whiskey, really. I reckon it bring out some of the, you know, more quieter notes if it was sort of paired with something maybe a bit sweet or even some sort of like cheese, maybe.
Yeah, like a Roquefort or something like that. Mm.
Mm, yeah.
Well, we've tried a couple of peats now, one that's non-Scotch, one that's Scotch. And something obviously I wanted to ask you, because you're a self-proclaimed huge fan of Scotch. You know, the vast majority of your feed is Scotch. Obviously, you have some that aren't. And I've noted, especially when you've covered something like a nice English whiskey, like a Cotswolds or something like that, that it you're slowly cottling onto kind of other ones around. Would you say that's fair to say? Are you coming out of a Scotch bracket, or are you still hardcore in the Scotch and just trying things on the periphery?
No, my eyes are wide open. Before, I was just like, Scotch. And then I got bought a Cotswolds, and she said it was like English whiskey. Yeah, it's going to be like English, you know, the whole English wine. It's, you know, it's rubbish, blah, blah, blah. And I tried it and I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, the bottle did not last long at all. And I was like, all right, yeah, okay, I'll start branching out. And then I was in the whiskey shop over in York, and they offered me a sample of the Cheetah Japanese whiskey, and I tried that, and I was like, wow, I love this. And the more I started going over, and I tried some McMara, and I tried some, I want to say John Paul, was it Paul John?
Paul John, yeah, the Indian stuff.
That was really interesting as well. And I thought that was really interesting for its maturation period, because it's in a hot climate. It doesn't have to mature for as long. And that was really interesting. And then it was Australian. And now it's just like, yeah, it doesn't have to just come out of Scotland. I've tried to focus this year on my Irish whiskey, because I had my friends saying, you need to try this, you need to try that. And I was like, it's not going to be as good as Scottish, though, is it? And I tried a few and I was like, yes, okay, you know, doff my hat. You know, and it's just, like I say, it has just been a really exciting year for me, because my eyes are completely open. I've completely taken down all these barriers of, like, me being tunnel visioned of what I thought was, you know, meant to be the best, and no, it's not like that at all. There's other countries that are making fantastic drams, you know, and really different as well. But like you're saying with the juniper, you know, it's a really different element to it, and it gives it a sort of different taste as well. And I love it. Yeah, I love it. I definitely want to try more from different countries. I've not branched over to the bourbon side of things yet. I did try some when I was in New York quite a few years back, and there is some rough stuff, to be fair. There was some good stuff. I had like some, I think it was some Knob Creek and some Woodford Reserve, you know, some of them was, you know, quite good. But then I had some others and it just absolutely blew my socks off, you know. So yeah, I think that needs to go on the sideburn for a bit. But yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving whiskey at the moment, and world whiskey.
No, I'm glad, because I think it's, well, what you hit the nail on the head there a little while ago when you said about who's the best. But I think you're quite right. It doesn't matter who's the best. You know, Scotland's the best at making Scotch, and America's the best at making bourbon, and Ireland's the best at making Irish whiskey, and that's enough for me. You know, it's great to be different, and bad whiskey will always be bad and good whiskey will always be good. And that's actually what this map here is. I'm slowly scratching off states and countries that I've tried for whiskeys from. It's pretty slow going, to be fair, because not everyone's cottoning on yet. But yeah, one day, I hope. I mean, I don't think I'll get very far with like Africa and Antarctica and things like that. But, you know, maybe one day, who knows?
I love that. And is that just one of those kind of like, I've travelled here sort of maps? That's a great idea. I love that.
Yeah. Feel free to steal it, because it's one of my number one frequently asked questions on the channel is, what is that map and why is India a different colour from the rest of it? That's what I get asked a lot.
I love it.
So that's what that is. One day, hope to fill it.
I think the thing is, though, like, especially with Scotland, there is just that many distilleries. that you can just end up just focusing on that one region and you'll never cover it all, you know, or it will take a very, very long time to cover it all. And if you're just focusing on that one area, you're missing out on so many other fantastic drams. So I mean, you've got to sort of just broaden your horizons and just pick here, pick there, pick there.
Yeah, completely agree, completely agree. Well, that's the end of the six drams. Hopefully you've enjoyed your way through most of them, let's say, apart from one. To bring us to the end, I'd like to say a massive thank you to you for being super patient over some technical difficulties over the last few weeks. But what's the future for Whiskey Tea? Have you got any kind of plans, or are you just going to plod on with the Instagram and see how you get on?
I have got a few plans. I'd really like to sort of set up a blog. You know, there's so many instances where, you know, I really want to chat about a whiskey that I've tried, and there's only so many, you know, words that you can put onto an Instagram. I'd really be interested in doing that. You know, I've got a few collabs in the pipeline, you know, and hopefully another Scotland trip and possibly a trip to Ireland in the near future. So, yeah, there's plenty to do, plenty to look forward to.
Excellent. Well, I guess the only thing to let's say is to say cheers and Sláinte and Campai and all those other things that people like to say. Thanks very much for coming on.
Sláinte.
Cheers.